336 Jeff Katz News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. We've got a lot of heat coming our way. I'm just going to tell you that.
Hey, Jeff, it's really hot today. It's 88. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Next week, whole week, right around 100 degrees. And you heard our friend Matt DiNardo from 8 News say, this whole heat wave, get used to it for real. This is going to be around probably till the first week of July. So that is hot. One of the things that we're probably not going to see at the next meeting or even the next meeting of the Fed is a rate cut. That's the buzz. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true. I have no idea. But I do know that the president is upset that this Jerome Powell character is holding rates where they are. And my minimal, basic, amateur understanding of the economy says it seems like we're in pretty good shape. But as you know, I have three economists that I trust implicitly. Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Dave Bratt. And by the way, not necessarily in that order. The only one that is able to be on the show, however, is Dr. Dave Bratt, and he joins us every Friday afternoon. I'm so happy to welcome him again. Dave, thank you for being here, sir.
Glad to have outlived the old guys. Glad to be with you.
We are thrilled that you are here, my friend. All right, explain this for me. President Trump is, if I understand it correctly, he's the guy who's trying to get the economy cooking again, recover from the Biden crap, and get us where we need to be. And I see no inflation that I'm aware of in the same stratosphere as it was under Biden. And all these things seem to be good. The president says they're good. We're not seeing tariff kickback or anything else. But Jerome Powell says, nope. We're not cutting the rates. What gives? Explain it to all of us, would you?
Yeah, it is very complex right now. I think there is a little personal animosity and politics built in here. You got one Fed guy today coming out and saying he's open to cuts, and he may end up being the next Fed chair.
Okay.
And so Trump, you know, basically is got multiple layers of business going on right now. He's working the big beautiful bill.
Yep.
He's working tax cuts. He's working on manufacturing, bringing jobs back to America, bringing capital in the trillions back to the U.S. He's got to contend with a war.
Yep.
So he's navigating a lot of waters right now, and so I think his logic is, you got to be kidding me, guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm facing. And you've bailed out Wall Street every 5 seconds for the past 40 years, and that's why the rich got richer and the poor got nothing.
Yes.
And so he's like, you know, cut me some slack. And, you know, if you're in a perfect economy right now, I probably wouldn't be in favor of a rate cut. But when you've got all this going on at the same time and no evidence of inflation, it's like, come on, Fed, let's give a little bit here so we can get some economic growth going. And if you see signs of prices going up later, well, then do your job.
Right.
But, you know, Trump's basic talking point is that Europe's cut 10 times, you know, probably small 0.25 each time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants a big cut. But, you know, I in all fairness, I think a small rate cut, just, you know, because you know it'll prop up the markets. The markets are following the war, which I do find fascinating, by the way, right? The rich guys always seem to know, right? I mean, you didn't see. I mean, we were on the brink of war. All the intelligence was it was going to be Thursday and Friday, yesterday and today, bombing.
Right.
U.S. bombing. And then all of a sudden, Trump pulls back and says, nope, two more weeks. And so in my mind, what should have happened is the market should have freaked out more, but I think they knew. And so I don't know how they know. I think, you know, J.P. Morgan and two or three guys probably do have the inside call and the inside track on that stuff, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people know to follow the top two or three with the inside information.
Yep.
And the market says whatever. So, it's a fascinating time to be alive. And wow.
Can you offer some insight on the Powell stuff and the chairmanship? Because here's what my research shows me, that his term as chair of the Fed is May 2026, but he's appointed to the Fed board to serve until January 2028. So does he have two positions of some sort, or am I just not reading that right?
I don't know. We need to fix this thing fast, right?
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve is a quasi-private, quasi-public bank, which I don't like in the first place.
Mm.
Right? Make it one or the other. It you know, quasi, what's that mean?
Right.
And I don't know if you've been following it. I've done a few news hits on this. But the Fed is paying $200 billion a year to the private banks in interest costs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's they're upside down. They're bankrupt, right? Because they were doing that, and they were paying it out of the Federal Reserve balance sheet and profits, which they make off the interest rate spreads.
Wow.
But now the new news is they're paying it through the Treasury, which means your tax dollars, if you do $200 billion times 10 years, right, $200 billion a year, right?
And
so over 10 years, though, that's $2 trillion in savings to the U.S. budget.
Wow.
Right? And that's more than Congress and Senate are willing to cut over the next 10 years.
Wow.
And so if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you may want to look that up. And I'm blanking on the guy's name. I got it. It's Brian Westbury, W-E-S-B-U-R-Y. He's got probably the second one of the top two financial newsletters in the country. And, and I interviewed him a couple weeks back. And he's been reporting on this for years.
Mm.
And so the Federal Reserve is just treated as this, you know, mythical entity that no one gets to question. And they're stealing from you, and you better wake up and find out about it and then take some action. Get to your congressman, ask them for oversight meetings on this.
Well, yeah, that sounds like it's absolutely essential. Let me remind everybody, Dr. Dave Bratt is joining us. Dave is the Senior Vice President for Business Affairs at Liberty University, but he's not here on behalf of Liberty. He's kind enough to join us on Friday afternoons. We talk a little bit about the economic world, what is going on, how it's impacting us. Some of the other stuff that many of us are looking at, Dave, we keep hearing you mention in the big, beautiful bill. There's this battle about an issue. They call it SALT, right? State and local taxes. What exactly is that all about?
Well, that's just a total disaster. And that I can say without any equivocation, is a disaster if you're a conservative, right?
Yeah.
So basically, the rich states have high state and local taxes, and they want to deduct those payments from their federal taxes.
Right.
And so basically in economics, you're kind of rewarding states who are underperforming, right? California, New York, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
These rich blue states who have huge pension funds, who are blowing cash with every kind of benefit under the sun, and they're broke, they're hurting, they're upside down. You know, 10 years out, their balance sheets are terrible. Whether they can pay their pensions is a question.
Right.
And we're supposed to bail them out. Flyover country is supposed to bail out these rich states.
Ugh.
And so, you know, that the House did it because we want to win a few political votes out of New York and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really vocal congressmen over there that are making noise. But the Senate, I don't think, is going to put up with it. So we raised the cap from $10,000 right off to $40,000 in the House bill.
Yeah.
And the Senate is saying probably going to slap it back down to $10,000.
Okay.
And that'll cause, you know, but Trump is basically threatening all of them. He says, okay, good. Well, you'll be in charge of the biggest tax increase in human history if you vote no on the bill. So that's some pressure.
Okay.
That's some pressure.
All right. Yeah, that's huge pressure. I'm like you, though, Dave. I'm trying to think the lesson that comes from that is, number one, dear badly managed states, keep doing it, right? Hey, doing a heck of a job there. And number two, If you have decided you want to live there, I mean, I don't want to live there, then that's your problem. Part of what went into the equation, right, for the most of us is going, all right, well, if you live in New York and your personal property taxes are $40,000 a year, I think you need professional help. I think you're crazy. And I don't think I should have to underwrite that. I just don't.
No, and it's very similar. I mean, when people find out that their heads explode because it's so unfair, but the U.S. taxpayer is also subsidizing, you know, flood insurance and hurricane insurance for the richest homes down on the coast of Florida, et cetera.
Yep, yep.
And so I thought, well, surely, okay, maybe one time, but the law actually states they'll bail out four or five homes for the rich over multiple hurricane seasons. So it's like once you learn the lesson, it seems like, hey, I really can't afford this beautiful home with the full costs, right? And economics is about the full cost, which includes the risk of living on the ocean. It's stunning, but it comes with waves. And so, you know, why the rest of us should have to pay the bill for that risk for the super wealthy. And, you know, that's why there's kind of a populist revolution going on right now.
Yep.
And it's a good thing. People are waking up and starting to ask the basic questions. There's good reports out the African American, the black community is moving in this populist direction big time because they're getting sick of this, you know, being put in buckets as being black or Hispanic or whatever all the time. They just want to be, hey, I want to buy a house. I want my wages to go up.
Yep.
And I want my kid to have good schools, and I don't want my kids to be assaulted with crazy theories.
That's right.
And so it's there's some good news happening. There's some good news going on.
Yeah, that's one of those things, man. I mean, you've had the left obviously define everybody into these group identity politics groups, and then you're dealing with real live human beings who you say, you go in this box or that box, or I go in that box. You know, no, I would like my kids to have a job. I want to have a good education. I want to be safe. I want to go to the store. I want my neighbors to mow their lawn, and we're going to wave at each other as we drive down the road. That's it. You know, it's pretty simple, pretty basic.
Yep.
It's just living life the way God wants you to live life. Tell me about my Liberty Flames. Who's in action this week, Dave?
Well, we are on summer break right now. The people in action right now are the law school students who are on my floor. They're all prepping for their big law exam, so they're freaking out and drinking a lot of coffee.
Oh, my gosh.
But our law school has pass rates that are up there with the Ivy Leaguers, and they got ethics that surpass the Ivy Leaguers. So, higher Liberty.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. You know that. I encourage everybody I meet, if they've got kids who are thinking about college, they got nieces, nephews, grandkids, if you're not considering Liberty, you're missing out on a lot. Dave, I say it every week, and God willing, I'll continue to say it for a lot of weeks ahead. I love the fact you make time for us. It always means so much for you to be here, and I wish you and yours simply a blessed weekend, brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm enjoying the summer. I'm getting out and hitting some tennis balls and enjoying the warm weather. Next week will be a little bit tougher, but I love it. I love the summer. Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff. It's great. You do a great show. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. That is Dr. Dave Brandt from Liberty University. He's not here on behalf of Liberty University. It's kind of weird to say it, but that's the truth. He needs to let everybody know what the truth is on the economic front. People sometimes forget. Wasn't Dave in politics? He was. I don't think that was the highlight of his life. I'll tell you that right now. His big, major, most important accomplishments, in my humble opinion, have been on college campuses, educating young people and talking about economics and the world of business and how you make your way in. And he's a good guy. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.